Morning. Make sure I'm on. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Well, thank you so much for inviting me out to be with you this morning and to kick off your studies in the Bible. If you don't know, my name is Chris Webb. I am actually from Denver, Colorado. I moved to Tampa, Florida around 7 years ago and then went to Florida College for about 5 years and then found out about an opportunity to become a preacher's intern here in Madison. I've been working with the Gooch Lane Church of Christ since last May. So, wow, it's been about a year, I guess. But it's been a great journey. It's been an awesome journey. And I thank you so much for inviting me here to kick off some things. It's always hard, you know, when you have to go first. You're like, oh, man, I want to not first. You know, maybe second, maybe last. Yeah. But thank you for allowing me to be first and to kick this off. Well, as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to y'all about this week or today, there were a lot of things going through my mind, and what's going on in this country, what's going on in this world. There's just so much that is happening right now, and there is so much that we could talk about. But this morning, I wanted to talk about faith. You see, as we live here in this ever doubtful world, this world presents us with ideas about the doubt of the existence of God. The doubt of the possibility of an afterlife. The doubt of this life. There is so much doubt that this world is filled with. And it's no wonder why so many people are so lost. And that's what I was thinking about. It's no wonder why so many people are so lost. So many people are blind, groping about in the dark, not knowing anything, and not even knowing themselves. So what do we do about that? What do we do? What do we talk about when we're discussing a world in darkness? When we're discussing a world filled with doubt? Well, we talk about faith. We talk about that beacon. We talk about that light that we're all seeking to be, Jesus Christ. We talk about how Jesus Christ was given to us by God. We talk about how in a world full of doubt, He is the only light that we have. And our little light of our own, you know, we all sing that song, this little light of mine, that little light of yours is always being tested and tempted to go out. So what do we do? Well, we strengthen our faith. We strengthen our faith in that light so that we can be prepared to face this world and its darkness and its doubts. I had you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start reading in verse 23. Here the writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Stir up. The theme is working out. The theme is exercising. In fact, we talked a little bit about that in our class this morning, about getting ready for the Olympics and how all of these trainers need to be training for years before they even get a chance to compete. Well, guess what? Same thing is in regards to our faith as well. We need to train. But before we can train, we need to warm ourselves up. We need to stir ourselves up, you see, in order to prepare. If we're talking about what that word there, or that phrase there, stir up, it means to agitate, to enhance its current condition. That means it's going from one state of motion to another state of motion because there's some catalyst that is involved. And that catalyst is your choice to be here. That catalyst is your choice to believe in the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. And so if we're keeping with our topic of strengthening, the only way to strengthen muscle is to constantly work at building it up, constantly agitating it. You see, if you've ever worked something so hard and then you leave it alone for about 2 weeks or about 2 months, what happens? Sort of becomes stagnant, just stays there. Nothing is working. So you have to constantly stir it up. You have to constantly be working with it in order for it to make sure that it's working. And so turn with me to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Here Peter gives us some guidelines on how we can stir up and prepare our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3. He says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So listen what he says here. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. There, Peter says, if you want to know how you can strengthen your faith in an ever doubtful and dark world, this is how it's done. You've got to work at it. You've got to supplement it. You've got to give it the right things in order to make sure that it's going to work out. And so I want you to consider a fire, you see. Well, right before we see a fire about to go out, what do we do with the coals, or what do we do with the pieces of wood? We agitate it. We stir it up a little bit, right, so that the fire can build itself back up. Or I want you to consider a soup, if you will. You know, we pour all of these ingredients in, but what if we just poured all the ingredients in and we just left them there? It wouldn't do it any good. It'd be kind of weird, right? So we got to stir it up a bit, right? If we want that soup to be delicious, if we want to make sure that our dinner is going to be good, we've got to stir it up. Now, all of those are, you know, silly examples, but it brings out the point. If you want something to be good, you've got to constantly be working at it. If you want something to be good, you've got to be stirring it up and making sure that it's working. And so the point here is that the body works to build itself up physically, spiritually, collectively, individually in love. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in the second part of verse 15, he says, We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is what? Is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Each part has got to be working. Each part has to make sure that it's giving something, it's producing something. That's the only way that things are going to work together. That's the only way to strengthen not only ourselves individually, but collectively here as a body. We all have to be working together and making sure that things are being done. But if we're taking in the idea of something being stirred up, if we're taking the idea of something that has to warm up, you know, getting ready to exercise, why are we doing all of that? To get ready, right? To get ready. The only reason why we put more coals, the only reason why we put more wood on a fire is so that the fire can last longer, right? If we didn't want it to last so long, we'd take that wood away. But we put it on there because it has to test out the night, you see. And so that's what we're all doing here. You've got your own little light. You've got your own little light. I've got my own little light. And we're all here to build each other up, to stir one another up. Because here is where we warm up. But out there is where the exercise begins, you see. So once again, I thank you so much for being here. And your choice to be here. Because while we're all here edifying one another, glorifying our God together, We're being stirred up. We're getting ready. We're strengthening our faith to go out here and to face the things of this world. But now that we've been stirred up, we're ready to begin the strengthening of our faith. If I were to say, what can you sum up all of exercising, all of training, all of it into one word, what would it be? Well, it's already up there. It's resistance. Resistance. That's what it's all about. It's all about resistance, you see. Whether we're trying to lift a 50-pound dumbbell, or whether we're trying to take another step on a treadmill, the act of building muscle, the act of building stamina is resistance. And it's the same thing with our faith. If you want to know how to strengthen your faith, to be stronger, to have greater stamina, so that when you're tempted, you can say, no, I'm not going to fall into that. I know what the Lord wants me to do. Whenever you're tested, you say, no, I'm not going to fall into that. I know what God wants me to do. And not only to say that, but to make the decision to follow through. You want to know how that's done? You've got to resist. That's how it's done. Resisting is the only way to strengthen. But resisting comes after being warmed up, coming after being stirred up with one another, you see. So that means the moment we leave here, the moment we get out of here, resistance. Why? Because the devil is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to walk outside. He's waiting for you everywhere. And he wants to tempt you. And he wants to lead you somewhere that you don't want to go. He wants to take you and he wants to put your fire out, you see. But you've got to resist. We've got to all resist. But resistance against what? You see, it's not enough for me to say that. If we were talking about, you know, lifting weights with a dumbbell, it could be the weight itself or gravity. You know, when you're trying to resist, you're like, oh, I gotta, so heavy. Oh, that's resistance, you know. You keep on going, though it's hard, it's difficult, but you keep on going. If we're talking about running, it could be losing your balance, or in my case, passing out. Okay, I don't run that much, but you know, it's all about resisting the urge to stop. That's what it is. So if you're lifting weights, you know, you're like, what are you resisting? It's not just gravity, it's not just the weight, but you're resisting that urge to stop. Because that weight just really wants you to put it down, right? It's like, man, I don't want to deal with this. If you're running, man, one more step. Are you kidding me? You want to stop? That's the urge. But the only way to strengthen yourself, to strengthen each other, is if we resist that urge. That's the only way. Let me tell you, I just got done saying that I don't like running so much, but I was on the cross-country team while I was at Florida College, okay? And while I was on that team, I was in, well, the last group. All right, well, group three. There was group two, group one. These are the people who could run, you know, distances like it was nothing. And then there was group three who could run distances like it was actually something, right? But we had this one run, okay? And it was the only, I think it was a 5K run that I actually lasted. I didn't stop, not one time. I resisted. And it was great. It was awesome. But there was something that happened during that run. So it was me and it was Alex Dvorak. Okay. And so we're out there. We're running. Me and him, you know, we're in group three. So we're running along. And the next thing you know, we get across this corner and we see our other teammates. They say, hey, you're almost done. You're almost done. Keep on going just a little bit more, just around the corner. And so, you know, when you're running and you're getting close to the finish line, what do you want to do? You want to put in everything that you got. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. So you get all built up and you're like, okay, I'm going to finish strong because that's what I want to do. I want people to look back at this moment and say, they finished strong, right? So that's what's going on in our minds. And so we just book it. You know, we get everything that we have, bring up our strength, and we start running really fast. Except the only problem is when we got around that corner, we still had about a half a mile to go. Now, that tells you something about experienced runners. Whenever they say, hey, you're almost there, don't listen to them. No. But that's how it was for us. And let me tell you, we kept going. Alex did stop a little bit and then he finished up. But it kept going. Did I really want to stop after looking up and seeing how much farther I had to go? Yes. I tell you, it felt like impossible. Like it was going to be impossible. There's no way I could finish strong. But when you resist the urge, when you keep on going, man, there's no telling what you can do. There is no telling what God can do through you. You understand? But you got to keep going. You've got to keep resisting. That's the only way to get stronger at anything. And so this is how we build our faith. This is how we become stronger. It is when we resist the urge to not do those things listed for us in 2 Peter. It is when we're resisting the urge to hide our lamp under a basket. And so when someone is making us angry, we don't retaliate. When someone isn't living up to our standards, we don't judge. When it's all about just resisting even ourselves. It's not so much, you know, I've got to resist this temptation here, this test. It's also within. It's not just external tests. It's internal as well. But it's all about resisting the urge to stop acting like Christ. That's the main thing. I told you that the devil is waiting for you anywhere and everywhere, right? He wants to put that light out. And what he's really trying to get you to do is to stop acting like Christ. Because he knows what we've said. He knows what we've all chosen to do. We've chosen to follow him. He's the beacon. He's the light. He's the way. And so what better way to bring us down than to stop in that path? Than to turn to over here, over there. That's the way he wants to bring us down. But we have to resist that urge to stop acting like Christ and to continue on in his word and what he would have us to do. But not only are we resisting the urge to stop, but we also resist the immense amount of false information out here. How many of us haven't heard of a workout or a diet program that guarantees you'll be back to full health in about a month? Or sometimes even a few days, you see. Or, you know, sometimes we'll compare it to our lives as well. There are probably work programs or something that has promised you unbelievable riches in about 2 months. But anyone who goes to the gym, anyone who actually works, anyone who is working hard for a goal knows that quality strength is built by hard work and resistance. And so it is with faith. Quality faith is built by hard work and resistance. How many times are we bombarded daily with things trying to convince us that we shouldn't try to live in a way, or we shouldn't believe in the God the way that we do? Too many things. Oh, God doesn't want you to do that. Oh, God doesn't want you to go here. God doesn't want you to talk to this person. Just be yourself. Just do whatever you want. That's false information. Somebody isn't paying attention to this, you see. Somebody isn't paying attention to the rule book, to the guidelines. But that's what we have to do. It's not just resisting the urge to stop acting like Christ. It's resisting the urge to stop learning about him and following after him. We talked about in the class this morning that, you know, we've got to know the truth in order to spread it. You've got to know God in order to be able to resist like him. That's the only way. Resist the false information. We resist false information by continuing our studies in the truth, God's word. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sure you know these verses very well. Starting in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for what? For training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, when you want to train, you want to continue to resist the devil, you come here and you read how other people trained. You read how other people overcame the things of the world. There are too many examples for us to follow. We have no excuse. We have everything we've ever needed, right here in God's Word. So follow God's Word and pay attention to that. All Scripture is breathed out. But you see, it's for your good. It's for our good that we would follow after Him and what He would have us to do. And so the strength of our faith comes from hard work and perseverance, not from quick schemes. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, first five verses here. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." What does he say there? This is how it's done. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take perseverance. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to go through a lot of things. But it's going to produce character in you. It's going to produce what is needed to be produced in order for you to be strong enough to face this world, its darkness, and its doubts. That's how it's done. It's not through quick schemes. You're not going to be a super Christian in 2 days. I guarantee you, that's not how it's done. But you got to continue to work at it, to build, to stir up, and to resist not only the urge to stop, but the false information that is out here. And if I were to give you the key to resisting, I would invite you to turn back to what was our scripture reading for this morning. James chapter 4. Everyone turn to James chapter 4, because everyone needs to read this. If we want to know what resisting is all about, this is it. The answer is given here. James chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Let's read that again. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This is the key to defeating all external and internal enemies. This is how you get out of this world. This is how you have the strength to overcome. This is how you have the ability to overpower. And it's not by gaining in physical muscle. It's not by gaining arms, you know, having all of these weapons or things like that. No. The only way to resist, the only way to make sure that you're going to get through this world, through its darkness and through its doubts, is by submitting yourself to God. Now, I know sometimes that seems kind of backwards. What do you mean, resisting? I'm trying to resist something. You mean I've got to submit? Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what James is talking about here. If you want to know how to overcome, overpower, you submit, but you submit yourselves to God. This is what it's all about. This is hard. It's difficult. We struggle with that every day. Submitting our will to His will. Submitting our desires to His. But if we keep in mind what we're seeking, if we keep in mind where we're trying to go, that finish line, guess what? This is how it's done. Are you serious about it? Do you want to get there? You've got to submit to God. That's the only way we're going to resist the devil. And so, why do we work? Why do we strengthen? Why do we build? To get that after picture. You know, who doesn't enjoy looking at before and after pictures. I enjoy it so much. I enjoy looking at people, at how far someone has come due to their hard work and their perseverance. I love looking at pictures of a child on their first day of school, and then as that person is now getting ready to graduate high school. I love looking at pictures like that. It's like, man, look how far they've come. Look how hard they've worked. Who knows the struggles that they've been through? Who knows all of the things that they've had to face? But man, they made it. They're there. They're ready. I love looking at things like that. Before and after pictures. And why do we do that? Why do we love it so much? Because we love seeing the result of someone's hard work. We love seeing the result, you know, where it's going to lead. It's like if somebody has this idea to build a building, you know, that's not enough for us to just like, okay, we've started the building, but we want to see it finished, right? We want to see what it looks like when it's all done and ready. It's the same thing with our faith. We continue to work, to resist, to stir, so that we can get that after picture. And as Christians, we get to enjoy this pleasure as well in God's word. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at some heroes of faith here. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Skip down to verse 11. "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Skip down to verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." And verse 31. "By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." What does it say here? If we go back and we read those stories, we can see where they were before. Abraham, this man just off in some country. Moses, you know, now he's the son of Pharaoh here, raised up. But we get to see their after picture. And there's only one reason why we get to see that, and it's because of their faith. It's because of their faith. Look at where they ended up. Now, was it all sunshine and rainbows? No. Well, was it all butterflies every day for them? No. But because they had faith in God, they didn't consider too much of those things. You know, in the end, it didn't matter. Because when they got to see their after picture, when they got to be with God, you see, nothing else is going to matter. So that's why we work so hard. That's why we work to resist. That's why we work to build each other up. Because we want to be there. We want to see the after picture. Where we're not just here to have faith for a little while and fall off later. That's not why we're here. We're here to have faith, to keep it, and to see it all the way to the end. That's why we're here. But we've got to continue to do these things. Look at the examples here given in Hebrews chapter 11. We have great examples here. Look at them. It can be done. It's not impossible. It can be done. But you've got to do what they did. You've got to resist that urge. You've got to say, no, I'm not going to fall into what the devil is going to tell me. You've got to continue to be with your people to build each other up. That's what needs to be done. So that collectively and individually, we can all see our after picture with Christ someday. And when we look at these examples, they should give us hope that with God, our faith can help us achieve so much, not only for ourselves, but for each other. It was a verse we talked about this morning in class, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Everybody turn there. Philippians chapter 4. And I like how in class, you know, they were talking about how many times this verse is just taken out of context. And you're exactly right. what is Paul saying here? Let's look at what he's saying here. Starting in verse 12, he says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, of facing hunger, of facing abundance, of facing need. Then he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That tells us that we will all be able to do the same things here. We'll all be able to face plenty, hunger, abundance, need. Why? Because of faith in God. By looking at the people who've come before us, by recognizing the things that they've done, and by remembering what God wants us to do, and resisting and stirring one another up, hard work, persevering, man, we'll be able to do the things that Paul was able to do through the faith in Christ Jesus. And it should also remind us that we've had the capacity to build all along. You see, with the right foundation, that being in Christ Jesus, there is no telling how strong in the faith we can become. There is no limit here. So become as strong as you can get. Be as good as God wants you to be. That's why we're working. We're not going to focus too much on our weaknesses. We're going to recognize that we have weaknesses, but we don't focus on them so much as to say, this is why I can't get better. This is why I can't improve. No, work on those things and strengthen yourself to get better. For God, to get better, to be able to face this darkness, to be able to face these doubts. That's what we're doing here. But you ever seen a picture of somebody who was, really thin? And I don't know whether it was due to steroids or whatever. And then, you see this other picture where they're just, bulked up. That's amazing sometimes when you think about that they had the capacity to get that big the whole time. They had it. And so when we compare that to our faith, sometimes it's going to seem like a little mustard seed is nothing. But it's something. But we've got to continue to build it. We've got to continue to strengthen it. Who knows how strong we can get? So don't focus too much on, oh man, I can't do this. Oh man, I won't be able to make it. Oh man, one more step. I've got to keep on resisting. Yes. Because that after picture, who knows how many people you'll be able to help? Who knows how many people you'll be able to influence if you keep going, if you keep striving for that after picture? But let us get a glimpse of what our after picture is going to look like. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll read these verses to you. Starting in verse 52, he says, In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so our work is not in vain. You believe in the Lord. You trust in Him. And you keep going. God's going to bring it to fruition. God's going to make sure you're going to get there. But we have to stick with Him. We have to make sure we're being the right example. We have to make sure we're resisting. We're stirring one another up. We're strengthening. We're learning about the examples that have come before. We're learning about the examples we're trying to be. And we keep on going. And thus we get to our results. You see, our labor is not in vain. We strengthen our faith because we are resolved in the life and in the death and in the resurrection of Christ. We are resolved in seeing God, and perhaps our strength in the faith is noticed by someone else, and we bring them along with us. But we must finish the race. And though we work hard to build each other up, a race isn't a team sport. Only you can run your own race. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Here Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You notice what he said there? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We all are running together. And we are all running in a way so that we can be first, right? But there's one thing we've got to recognize. Somebody else can run your race. And if you were ever on a cross-country team, I can't run your race for you. Okay, you don't want me to, guaranteed. But we each have to run our own race. We each have to make sure that I am following God. I want everybody else to make it. I want everybody to make it. That is the will of God, that all men be saved. But I've got to make sure that I'm going to make it. I've got to make sure that God is going to write me there in that book of life, that book of victors. See, it's a race that we've all got to run, but it's a race we all run together, but we all must finish our own. And we finish this thought in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Where he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand on the throne of God. That's what we're all trying to do. We're looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, the one who made it, who created this way. And we're all looking to be with him. So we despise the shame. The world's going to look at us and say, you're not doing these things of darkness. You're not engaging in these things of doubt. Well, that's shameful. You see, you're not living a fun life, a happy life. That's nonsense. That's false information we have to keep on resisting. But you see, we despise the shame. We despise anything that's going to get in our way, that's going to get in our path. We run around these things. We jump over them. We get through them. We do whatever we can because we're looking at Jesus. We're looking at him. That's where we're trying to go. That's who we're trying to be. And I know if I were to say, how many of you have this faith so that in a few years you can drop off, all of you would say no. You have faith in God. You want to strengthen that faith so that you can see that after picture, so that you can be there in that result, so that you can be all there together with him in heaven. But we have to keep on going. We have to keep on working. We all aim for God as an assurance that we have a place in the next life. Let us finish that thought in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now we'll start in verse 10. He says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So though the world presents us with so many things to doubt, the Word presents us with so much to have faith in. The faith in the existence of God, the faith of this life, and in the faith of an afterlife. If only we would continue to stir up, to build each other up in love, and to the people that God wants us to be, we can all make it. But if you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to be stirred up in love with us, denying the falseness of this world and aiming to be seen with Christ one day. We invite you to come and be baptized for the remission of your sins, having confessed Jesus as Lord and God and repented from the life of sin. But if you are a Christian this morning who is still struggling to find strength, I would remind you to turn away from whatever this world is calling knowledge and to put your trust and strength in God by full submission to Him. Remember, that was the key. If you want to know how to resist, you submit yourselves to God. We'll pray for you and help with whatever needs to be done. If there be any need, brethren, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.